What's going on, everybody? It's Jamal Bolton here with another episode of the Jamal Bolton Show. And today's show, got a few topics I want to get off my chest. Talking about the NFL. Of course, you got to go back to the Jay-Z, Roc Nation, the partnership with the NFL. I dig into that for a little bit. I also dig into the NFL 100th anniversary, top players in NFL history. We'll go over position by position, you know, see who was voted on ESPN's polls, the greatest players ever. And I give you my opinion of who I think is the greatest football player ever. Of course, I want to slide over to the NBA. What's going on with Carmelo Anthony? And, of course, a little bit of Major League Baseball and, of course, some college football. So sit back, relax, stay tuned. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back with you guys. Welcome back, everybody. So let me just dive right into this whole the NFL, Jay-Z. You know, I waited a while to do it because it's, you know, it's all everybody wants to talk about. And, of course, you know, when everybody wants to talk about it, it seems to be the topic of discussion. And I like to call people, with no disrespect, I like to call a lot of these people that kind of fall for the okey-doke. I like to call a lot of them digital dummies. And I use that term very loosely. I don't mean to call anybody dumb, but, you know, it's just the behavior that people have, right? So we're here with the NFL, Roc Nation, NFL. They have a partnership going on. Everybody's going crazy because they feel like Jay sold out. You know, I've started to see the memes of, you know, replacing Jay's face with Samuel from what's the movie, Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained. You know, just getting attacked by so many different people, so many different angles. I'm like, look, you know, I've seen him being called Uncle Tom, and I'm not sitting here to defend my favorite rapper, the guy that I idolize, because, you know, I don't idolize him. I respect him a lot, but here's a guy that is a culture pusher. Here's a guy that has such an impact. I mean, here's a guy that had grown men changing their attire years ago when he went from wearing jerseys and baggy jeans to like, hey, let's wear these, you know, these button down shirts, get them tailored up or whatever, you know, make it look good, throw a hat on it, roll your sleeves up, throw some cufflinks. Like, he's a guy that has that much, you know, influence. You know, I'm looking on social media. You see the pictures. You know, he's a coon. Doubt it. You know, Coon doesn't get back to his community. Clayton Bigsby, the character Dave Chappelle had in his show, who hated his own kind. You know, that's a coon. You know, a coon doesn't bail folks out of jail when they're sitting in jail. You know, a coon doesn't try to give back to the community in ways the way he's giving out. You know, a coon doesn't put out, you know, docuseries on Trayvon Martin and Khalif Browder. You know, I think the name calling's unnecessary. You know what I mean? It's just a little ridiculous, you know, and here's a guy that basically told the NFL, like, I don't need you. He rapped, right, on his album with his wife, the Carters. You know, he said, I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me. I don't need you. Overnight, we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we're in stadiums, too. I highly doubt he was looking for them. You know, they know he's powerful. They know the kind of clout that he has. You know, they know it was a smart move on their behalf to get the community, you know, to get the black community. Our dollars make sense. People don't realize that our dollars are powerful dollars. You know, how many people were out there still wearing Gucci even after the controversy? Why? Because they want to keep the image up. A lot of people that I know were just like, yo, you ain't got nothing to do with me. They didn't make fun of me in blackface. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. So, you know, the black community, look, you know, give or take, it's very powerful. You know, we could be our own worst enemy. Or, you know, and when we come together, we can be real strong. So, and this is a case where you look at certain people. You had the Jermaine Dupri thing come up. Oh, he told Jermaine Dupri don't take the deal. JD had the same deal. Then he went and took the deal. And it's just like, bro, no, he did not. You know, like JD was like, no, I didn't speak to Jay about this. You know, it's kind of crazy because people sit there and they jump the gun and they start to assume, they start to do this, start to do that. It gets crazy. You know, it just gets a little ridiculous when you start to look at people and, you know, how they are. It's just stupid. You know, you even have Funkmaster Flex going on a rant. You know, people just going on rants. And then it's like when it comes up that he didn't have anything to do with it, it's like everybody's like, oh. You know, I always say, you know, if he couldn't get anything done, you know, I don't think he did anything wrong. But if he couldn't get anything done or think that it would be beneficial, he probably would have said no. When you're a billionaire, you really don't need anything. You don't need to partner with anybody. You can just take your money, keep making the money you've been making, live your life and go on. You know, he didn't have to really step up to the plate. And I think a lot of people are going to be eating crow once this is done. You know, like you cannot really make an impact from the outside. Yeah, you can keep kneeling, but it's like, what does that got? And I get it, you know, Eric Reed and the other guy, Brian Steele from Miami, you know, they're going after him and he's a sellout. You know, Colin doesn't have a job. You know, look, Charlamagne said it best on the radio. Like, Colin isn't his boy. You know, he supports what he does. It's not his boy. It wasn't like they were homeboys and they agreed to protest and then he gets a job and he takes this and Colin's like, yo, what's up? So It's just weird and awkward, you know, the way people are with it. You know, everybody's kind of fly by night with everything. They like to do things according to, you know, to popular belief, and everybody has their ways. And I guess they thought Jay shouldn't partake. You know, I know a lot of guys who were quote unquote protesting the NFL, but they were still playing Madden. You know, a lot of guys who were still, you know, doing their part and looking at football every Sunday, but to the masses, they were protesting to Facebook and Instagram. So everybody really always wants something to say. Everybody's hoping that their next comment is going to be the one that goes viral, that is going to be on the Shade Room. It's going to be on a Ball Alert or something like that, or somebody's going to hear and it's going to go viral. People are crazy. I think it's ridiculous. But I think when you're inside, you can make more of an impact than you can from the outside. Right? You can rap and say, hey, dad, I don't need you. Yeah, cool. Super Bowl comes calling. I don't want you. I don't need your money. That $1 million check ain't going to do nothing to me. I got a billion sitting in the bank. Like, you know, but to make change, it seems like he's ready to make the change. And I think we'll start to see it. Of course, the Super Bowl is going to be off the hook. You know, they're giving him the green light, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. They kind of helped to curate the halftime show. But other than that, you know, we're going to get something different. And look, Colin may not ever get a job again in the NFL. I don't know. He's, you know, 3 years away from the game almost. He's getting a little older. You know, maybe the activist route was the route for him to go. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a job, because he's better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league still. But maybe it's just, I don't know. You know, maybe Jay can change that. It'd be great to see him in a uniform before it's all said and done. But, you know, maybe he can come to some kind of understanding with football as well. And maybe they can do something. You know, it's a lot. You know, what he was protesting is a lot of it is still going on. And I'm guessing they've been willing to say, hey, you know what? Our league is, you know, predominantly African-American. We got to act a little bit more concerned about this. I still think Jay did the right thing. I think it's going to work out. It's going to be something pretty awesome. And I think it'll be something that benefits the culture as a whole. You know, I just think people need to laugh on attacks. Don't jump out the window. Don't, you know, the coons, the name calling, things like that. I really think, you know, you can take it easy on that. I think this guy has the right intention in mind, and he's going to do some beautiful things with them. So, and that's just my take on it. I don't really want to get too much in it, because, you know, just read about it for a week. I didn't want to jump on it when it first happened. You know, you're looking at everybody and just reading the comments. People are just ridiculous. You know, everybody is excited. And, you know, he even got called about former business partner, you know, saying he, you know, that's just his style. Jay does whatever. And it's just awkward, you know, just the way he's being attacked. He's being attacked as if he did something wrong. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting R. Kelly treatment, the way he's getting bashed with the memes and stuff on social media. You know, the internet, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. They're going to get you. So it's just a part of it. But, you know, sliding on from that, you know, the NFL's celebrating its 100th anniversary. And, you have milestone moments like this. I know the NBA will be 75 in 2021. So, you know, they'll have to do another top 75 list like they did the NBA top 50 list. And now the NFL, you know, I remember when the NFL 75, and that was, you know, 25 years ago, obviously. Time just flew by. I remember sitting there watching the uniforms with the patch. It was pretty cool. And now they're at the top 100 plays in NFL history. You know, ESPN conducted a list, and I'm looking at the list. And as I go, I'm a sports guy. I love football. I've been, you know, football to me, I've seen them talking on First Take about who's the greatest football player of all time. To me, it's hard. Football's always been a sport that's been very difficult to really pick who's the GOAT. So many positions, you can go either way. It's a never-ending conversation. I think the best at position, or maybe the best offensive player ever, would be more like it. But I'm looking at the list, and I know ESPN, they had Brady as the greatest quarterback ever. And for me, for a while, I was like, no, it was Montana. You know, and even when Brady only had 3 rings, it was like, you know, everybody was like, oh, Brady's the greatest. He's the best. He's got the numbers. I'm like, nope, it's all about Montana. Then he tied Joe. And I'm like, nah, Joe's still the best. And, you know, 4-0 says a lot. And then I'm just looking at him, and I'm like, damn, to think about it, he got 2 more rings after that. You know, he's 517 touchdowns. You know, he's 1,426 yards behind Peyton Manning for second all-time on all-time yardage list. You know, Drew Brees is first. 207 regular season wins. I mean, the guy just wins. And he's got 6 rings. And had it not been for a lucky catch by David Tyree in a Giant, and the Giants just having a number, he'd have 8. Like, that's the scary part. He's been to the Super Bowl a ton of times. And, you know, the victory between, you know, his 3rd and his 4th Super Bowl was, I forget how many years it was. It was, what, 12 years maybe between victories? It was just crazy, you know, what the guy does, you know. So ESPN had him as the greatest quarterback. They had Jerry Rice as the greatest wide receiver ever. This is a debate that I personally have always said. Jerry Rice holds every statistical record. You know, he was every kid. You called yourself Rice when you were out there playing football in the sandlot or the schoolyard. You were Jerry Rice. You were always Jerry Rice. You were never anybody else. you know, when you look at certain things in all the records that he holds. I've always said, I'm a little biased maybe, but I always thought that Randy Moss had Jerry Rice's work ethic. Not saying Randy Moss didn't work, but I'm just saying Randy Moss is so physically gifted. Randy Moss is 6'4". He ran like a 4'2", you know, and his stride, long strides, the things he could do on the football field was something that we'd never seen before. People don't really give him that credit. They like to focus more on the negative moments with him, but I think the stories I've heard, you know, one in particular when D'Angelo Hall, he was talking to the rookies about guarding Randy Moss, and he said one time when he was guarding Randy Moss came off, you know, the line, and Randy Moss just threw his hand up and waved for the ball. He's like looking, and he turned back around, and Randy Moss was a couple yards ahead of him. He's like, he just has that extra burst of speed. He's just so good. And, you know, he's incredible. Now, you know, there's a few things that, you know, intricate things that, you know, Chris Carter's a better route runner. He may have a little better hands. But I just think, you know, I know Rice is the greatest receiver, but it's just something like I think Randy Moss deserves a little bit more consideration in the argument. That's just my humble opinion, right? Running back, we kind of know Jim Brown's the guy. Retired at 30 with over 12,000 yards. If he plays till he's 35, he shatters everything. He probably goes close to 20,000 rushing yards, average 5.2 yards a carry for his career. Insane. Walter Payton was the other running back in the backfield. You know, I think it's justified. Tight end Tony Gonzalez. You know, after that, you got Kellen Winslow Sr., Shannon Sharp. Gronkowski, I think, would have eventually cracked his list had he stayed on a little bit longer. You go to the defensive side of the ball. You got Deacon Jones and Reggie White on the defensive ends. Linebackers, Lawrence Taylor. And I think I may agree with this. Well, I want to say agree with him as the greatest football player ever. But, I mean, the greatest defensive player ever, I think. Lawrence Taylor, just what he was able to do, the way he could drop back in the coverage, the way he put fan people's hearts. When you look at his highlight reels, he changed the game. I mean, he changed the game completely. I mean, he could drop back in the coverage. He was as fast as I don't know what. He could get to the quarterback. He was just a force. He was, insanely good. Lawrence Taylor was the guy. Look at his highlights and everything. I mean, God, he's like the most perfect football player ever almost. You know, just he could do everything. I mean, hell, he was fast in Tecmo Bowl, if anybody remembers Tecmo Bowl, but it was just amazing. They also had Dick Buckus as the other linebacker. You know, Dick Buckus' career got short because of knee injuries, but I like to think Ray Lewis may have had more of an impact, maybe just because of the longevity. You know, he got 2 Super Bowl rings as well, so I think that says a lot. When you want to put the argument up there, winning always precedes everything else, and I think because Dick Buckus didn't really win, you may have to give Ray Lewis the nod as the other linebacker along with Lawrence Taylor. You know, cornerbacks, Deion Sanders is the greatest. He was, you know, was he and Rod Woodson or the two greatest cornerbacks, and I think Deion's the greatest. You know, he may not have had the stats of, you know, Dick Knight, Train Lane, but nobody really threw to Deion, and considering he still had 53 interceptions, and he took, you know, 2-3-year hiatus, you know, after he retired and went back to Baltimore and played at 38 years old, he could have probably had a few more, but nobody threw to him. And for a guy that never got thrown to, 53 is a pretty impressive number. Scored touchdowns every way. Just a perfect athlete. Rod Woodson was just really good. He was on the NFL 75th anniversary team. He's another guy. He's a good lockdown corner. He's just really good. NFL record for, you know, interceptions, return for touchdown. The safeties, you got Ken Houston and Ronnie Lott. I think Ed Reed should have got some more consideration as well. Then you got Bill Belichick as the coach. Some people may say Bill Walsh. Some people, you know, may prefer Chuck Noll. It just depends. I mean, this argument is very subjective. I didn't really want to get detail in this. I just wanted to name the list and talk about it because I'm by myself. If I was with somebody able to argue, it can be a better argument. But, I mean, hey, listen to it. You can, you know, chime in however you want and feel what you want to feel. But I know the list is up on ESPN.com. This is their listing. It was a few other positions I left out, like offensive guard and things like that. I left tackle. You know, I wasn't going to get into that. That's more for the coaches and the guys who can dissect football through and through a little bit better than I can. But these are just the positions that stand out a little bit more. The guys that, you know, obviously I didn't see Deacon Jones, but I mean, I'm agreeing with the assessment. Here's a guy that was, you know, part of the fearsome foursome with the Rams and incredible. People still consider him, you know, one of the greatest ever. And now, you know, Deacon Jones is that guy. So, yeah, that's just what the NFL had right now. Again, I agree. Bill Belichick is probably the greatest coach ever. Bill Walsh is very innovative and different. I've seen some people talking about Parcells. Parcells is good, but I don't think he's what Belichick was. I think Belichick is Parcells, you know, but just better. He wins more. He's more consistent, I think. So, you know, guy's got 6 rings, so that says something. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's all I got for the NFL right now. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with some NBA news. Welcome back, everybody. Let's just slide over to the NBA for a little bit. NBA really doesn't have much going on right now. Free agency's done. Only thing that may be happening, Dwight Howard, I know, was one of the guy, big men the Lakers were looking at. DeMarcus Cousins, he just went down with an ACL injury, may miss the season. You got to feel bad for him because there's a guy who was on the cusp of getting a Supermax a couple years ago, and he's just been injury after injury now. So, hopefully he heals up fast. It's kind of crappy because I thought he was going to do some wonderful things with the Lakers this year. He was never himself in Golden State, played as hard as he could in the finals, but that's kind of what it is. So now the Lakers are looking for a big man. I know Joakim Noah was in the mix. Also looking at Dwight, maybe a reunion with Dwight Howard, who I still personally think he's still got some good basketball left. I just think he's been in terrible situations from signing with Atlanta, getting bounced to Charlotte, Charlotte, sending him off to Washington. Him signing with Washington, it just wasn't a good fit. I just think he's in a real, real weird space right now. And I think if he can get with the right situation, he keeps himself in good enough shape. He can, his game, he knows his role isn't what he was. He's not Orlando Dwight. So I think he can kind of come in and step in and maybe help them. I think he's athletic enough. So I know the Grizzlies have, they've granted his representatives an opportunity to speak with the Lakers. So that'll be a good thing. And of course, we still got this Carmelo Anthony saga going on. I personally think people speak up on Melo's behalf because they love Melo. They know Melo's a good guy. They know Melo's he's a solid dude. And Melo's one of the best scorers a lot of these guys have ever played against. And because of that, they just really feel like Melo deserves to still have an opportunity to play in this league. It's one of those things where as a guy's a 24-point-per-game scorer, he's not getting any looks or callbacks. And you just kind of wonder, what's going on? What's happening? And you really don't know. It's what's up? Royce Young, he mentioned something the other day. He plays in the Big Three. With the fanatic view, or Royce White, I should say. I'm sorry, and he got stopped, and he was going off, and he was basically if you think, he was saying why is Melo being blackballed? Then he also mentioned something about Jared Dudley, why is Jared Dudley playing, and Melo wasn't playing. You look at that, Jared Dudley's kind of like, yo, what is it about me? Why? He basically said something. I'm paraphrasing it, but he's like, yo, what I got to do with it? I just fit a role. Basically, I fit a role and I'm a good team guy. Jared Dudley shoots almost 40% from three, so he's going to always have a job. He's a specialist. He's a good locker room guy as well. He's not a guy that brings anything negatively to the team, and I don't think Melo does either. But Royce White, he also said something why isn't LeBron getting him a job? And I know a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, he's the most powerful dude in the league. He's the face of the league. I'll say this. Look, LeBron doesn't own the Lakers. The Lakers are going to do what they feel is best, and I get it. You try to appease, try to make your star player happy, but he isn't pulling strings like everybody may think he is. He's LeBron James. He's we get it. They still love him. Everybody loves him still. But I don't think he's not trying to help. Melo was just weird. I mean, a lot of people probably expected him to be like, yo, I need my guy here. We don't know what's what. This saga is a little different and a little odd. According to Stephen A, he was saying that there's been reports that he's being blackballed in NBA circles. I always thought he came across as a good dude. He never came across as a guy that was a locker room cancer. He's not an Isaiah Ryder. You know what I'm saying? The treatment he's getting is just a little odd to me. I really think he should be given better treatment. I really think he should be given opportunity to showcase himself a little bit more. The thing about it is just your mentality. It's just a mentality. Are you willing to take a lesser role? Can you be a role player? We got to ask ourselves this question, because I always think Iverson is another one who found himself in a situation where he wasn't willing to be anything less than the answer. Now, of course, we're used to seeing a guy cross everybody up, come through the lane, get a shot up over everybody. That's the guy we know. But I think a lot of us would have loved to have seen a 40-year-old Allen Iverson become a spot-up shooter, become a better shooter, be a role player. I personally think he should have been one of those guys coming off the bench for the Miami Heat. He still had something left to give. At some point in time, you kind of have to realize, okay, I've got to grow up. Excuse me. I've got to grow up. I've got to take better care of my body, and I've got to do the little things that's going to help me win and help my team win. Iverson deserved the ring. I really think he deserved the ring. He played his heart. He played his tail off for Philly. And it's one of those things where it's like, well, what can we do? What can happen here? And it's odd. It's an awkward situation. If he gets traded to Detroit, nobody wants him. Philly brings him back. He's over in Turkey. It's just weird. It was weird how his career ended. And Melo, it's just like, yo, what's really going on? are you willing to take this lesser role? I remember, you know, before the OKC season started, 2017, 2018, he was like, and he asked me, so are you going to be a role player? And he's like, who, me? Like, it's like, you know, I get it. You know, it's like he was shocked. But let's call it what it is. You know, he just wasn't going to be the first and second option for that team. You know, and I know, you know, he and Billy Donovan got along right because Billy Donovan explained to him, this is what I need you to do. And he was with that. You know, I just think the Houston thing went wrong. It was sour. I still feel a little iffy about that. I still think there might have been something where it was like, look, you got us out of New York. We're going to get you out of Houston. Because I think he could have helped them. Because in gold against Golden State, they really didn't have anybody. They didn't have any killers that could attack. Golden State, let the best player in the world went down in Golden State, and they didn't take advantage of that. That was awkward to me. So, you know, this whole thing about him being blackballed, you know, is it more so having to do with him not willing to, you know, step up to the plate and be like, hey, I'm willing to do this, I'm willing to do that? I mean, we'll see, right? We'll have to wait and see. So we'll wait and see what happens. He's one of the best players in the world still, I think, but it's just going to be what role he wants to play. We don't need you to think you're still Denver Melo. Be mature Melo. Come in, give us what we can get from you, 20 minutes, 25 minutes off the bench if it calls for it. Still give you 30 on some nights. It's just not going to be like he was doing it in Denver. So, you know, it takes really good care of his body. So I'm hoping he gets another shot and he isn't forced to retire because of something silly. So we shall see. The rookie survey was done. And surprisingly, a lot of answers were, you know, were thrown out there. One of them was that Cam Reddish is going to be the best NBA player out of the group, even better than Zion. And I'm a Duke fan. I love Duke. Love watching it. I know he was a little hurt, a little banged up last year. I'm trying to see, I want to see how much, you know, how well he plays this year. You know, he's got a lot of proving to do. I know in high school he was a dog. He went at everybody and everybody, you know, everybody seems to think he got overshadowed at Duke by RJ and of course Zion. But I would have loved to see him stay in school another year. But my thing is like the NBA is calling. You're going to be a top 10 pick. You can't do that. And I know his draft status was fluctuating up and down at points in times during the process, you know, and a lot of it's because of his inconsistency during the year. This is a bold vote amongst the rookies, but a lot of these guys played against him, so they know what he brings to the table. So we'll wait and see. You know, we got Team USA out there right now. They look good in the exhibition games. They just beat Australia by 16. And I'm going to say this too, man. They said it on TV the other day, man. Look out for the Celtics, man. They got, you know, Celtics got four players. Marcus Smart is hurt right now. But Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker all look great. And they got that chemistry coming in early. They've been getting used to playing with each other. They've been practicing with each other for a few weeks. So that chemistry is going to be key. You know, once they get back to Boston, they can get at it and start, you know, working with each other. It's going to be fun to see what they do this year. I know they've been picked fourth or fifth in the East, but I think they're going to surprise some people maybe. If they can get it together, Kemba's really good. He looks like he's the leader of this Team USA squad. He may be the best player on the team. I don't want to hear anything else. The guy's really good. He's legit. And I think it's about that time people start showing him the proper respect. And before I get off of basketball, man, I want to say something about Joe Johnson, man. Joe Johnson's in the Big Three abusing dudes. I mean, it's crazy how much game he still has. He's still really, really good, really, really solid. I'm surprised he's not in the NBA. Maybe he gets a call up. Maybe somebody calls him and say, hey, come to training camp or whatever. But if you haven't watched the Big Three and watch him, man, he's set a record for most points in the Big Three season, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, the dude's amazing. He's still got a lot of game. They don't call him ISO Joe for nothing. So, it's just crazy, man. Looking at him play, I'm like, damn, he still belongs in the NBA, on the NBA team. It's just crazy. Still got a lot of game left, man. Shout out to Ice Cube for the Big Three, though. Big Three is definitely dope. A lot of people trashed it, thought it was going to be one and done. But they've been proven, man. They've been getting some great talent. They've been getting some good, solid NBA players that can still ball and hoop, and people still want to come out and see them play. As you see every weekend, arenas are packed, man. So, definitely dope, man, with the players. They still have somewhere to go even after they're done. So that's all I got right now for basketball. Let me take a quick break. I'll be right back with some Major League Baseball and ML, Major League Baseball and college football news. So take, you know, kick back. I'll be right back. Give me a sec. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go slide over to some Major League Baseball. I don't really have much for baseball. The season's ending. It's been kind of anticlimactic out in the National League. You got the Dodgers running away with everything. They're 20 games up in their division. It's crazy how they've been dominating the division all year. It's just the way it is. They got some magic. I don't know if this is going to be the year that they actually get over the hump and finally get a World Series, you know, but they 20 and a half games up. I mean, they got it on lock. You look at the NL Central. You got the Cubs. They're fighting with the Cardinals to get to get a hold of that division. You got the NL East. You got the Braves up by 6 games. The Mets are coming. Don't sleep on the Mets, though. They're kind of creeping up their game and a half back of the wild card. You know, they were kind of lackluster all season, and now they've got some life. So they're peaking at the right time. Hopefully they can carry on and sneak into the playoffs, because I think if they can get in with that young team and that pitching, they can do something special and catch a few teams slipping. So the NL wild card is extremely close. You know, you got the Rays and the A's locked in the tie, and the Indians a game back. So that race is gonna be something to look at as the season goes on, and you know, and it keeps progressing or whatever the case may be. So that'll definitely be good to watch. The Yankees are running away with the AL East. They look really good. They're actually in second place overall as far as baseball goes. The Dodgers have the best overall record, and the Yankees and the Dodgers, they play each other this weekend. So that'll definitely be something to look forward to, something to watch, and you know, maybe a World Series preview. We have no clue what's going to happen, but you know, the Yankees, they hold up their end of the bargain. It's going to happen. You know, they play at L.A. They over in L.A. They're going to play them this weekend. So we'll see how it holds up. I mean, it's going to be interesting. So, you know, they're playing all weekend. So definitely going to be interesting to see how that ends up, because it could easily, like I said, be the World Series. And we may definitely get this. You know, they basically stay on par. They stay on course and do what they're supposed to do, because you know how that goes. People get all hot during the regular season and they kind of choke. And also want to say shout out to the Baltimore Orioles, who have officially given up the most home runs in Major League Baseball history, and they still got 33 games left to go. That team has been terrible the last couple of years. I don't know what's going on, who's running it. The guys don't even seem like they want to play. Everybody just seems to be lackluster with that team. So right now, they're struggling. They used to be pretty damn good when I was growing up. You know, that's when Cal Ripken was there. You know, they had a lot of on years, off years, but they've been terrible as of recently, man. They just don't really seem to have the right mesh of people there, and it's crazy to see a team like that look so bad. But yeah, they look really, really bad. So, and also this weekend, we got college football opening up. So that's like, you know, that's huge. If you lived in the South, went to school in the South, if you went to college in the South, SEC or near SEC country, and I went to school in the South. So college football to me is more exciting than the NFL. And most people may sit there and say that's sacrilegious, but that's okay, because they don't really understand it. But there's nothing like a Saturday morning tailgating outside of an SEC stadium, you know, Neyland Stadium in my case, University of Tennessee. There's nothing like it. It's incredible. The experience is different. You know, being in a stadium full of about 100,000 people, 110,000 in some cases, like, it's nothing like it, especially if you have a team that's really solid, a top 10 team. I mean, you look at it, I'm sure it's a zoo in Alabama and Tuscaloosa right now. But, you know, this weekend is, you know, like I said, it's opening weekend. There's only 2 games, but, you know, it's here. College football is back. We get to talk about it. I think we may be on the road to Alabama Clemson Part 5. Those teams seem to be stacked. You know, you got Tua Tagovailoa. He's back for maybe his last season in Tuscaloosa. You got Trevor Lawrence. He's back leading the pack of Clemson. You know, he's a true freshman, won a national championship last year. I mean, they've got a good team. I mean, they're really, really, really solid. I mean, they're really solid. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully those guys stay, you know, they stay on course. They keep everything going. You know, you got a few Heisman hopefuls all around. You got Jalen Hurts, former Alabama quarterback. He's at Oklahoma now as a grad transfer. You got Jake Fromm at Georgia. He's the quarterback. You got, like I said, aforementioned Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence. You got Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin. Justin Herbert, the quarterback from Oregon. You know, Travis Etienne from Clemson. So you got a lot of players here. And, you know, a few of them were mentioned from, you know, Alabama and Clemson. So I think, you know, they've built these powerhouses. I mean, Dabo Sweeney, he turned that around. I remember watching Dabo's first game when he was the interim coach, and he kind of led them down the middle. If you watch Clemson, when he come down, he led them down the hill, and he was super excited. And the commentators kept talking about him and how excited he was. And, you know, looking at what he's built now, it's incredible to see. So I think they'll be back in the hunt, man. I think they're going to run through the ACC again. And it's crazy because growing up, Clemson was never really that good. They were always 8, maybe 9 wins was a great season for him. And he just kind of turned everything around. You know, Clemson was good before I was even in existence, you know, when I was a baby in the 80s, you know, Death Valley was Death Valley, but it kind of faded off through the years. You know, they may have had a 10 win season here and there, but now they're consistent and they're amongst the elite. You know, two of the last 3 national championships, they may be going for a third. I mean, they got maybe the best quarterback in college football. One of 2 or 3 best quarterbacks. I mean, a kid, what, 19 years old, he's got it all. They're loaded up. They got a coach that's super enthusiastic and loves the coach. So, man, it's going to be fun, man. Next weekend is when you get to see a lot more, you know. But this weekend we got Miami and we got Florida. Miami against University of Florida, it should be good. You know, University of Miami coach Manny Diaz makes his debut. He was a Miami coordinator, a defensive coordinator under Coach Mark Richt. You know, he went to Temple, came back once the job opened up, and he's here now. So they're hoping he'd bring back the glory days, like, you know, get the U back to being the U. We shall see. You know, things are going to be happening, a lot of things going on. So we'll definitely have to wait and see how that goes on. But it's going to be interesting, man. It's the Florida-Miami thing. So in-state rivalries should be fun to watch. But, you know, that's all I have for this show today. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. You know, before I get out of here, I want to shout out my guys over at A-Game Podcast, Ron and K. Jamal. Those are my dudes. They show a lot of support, a lot of love. Also, if you get a chance, man, go check out K. Jamal and his podcast, Empire Within. You know, he's always dropping some jewels, you know, some fresh words of wisdom, you know, words of encouragement. So go check them out. Gotta shout out my man 50 Grand Cal Griffin. You know, we grew up together. He's over at All Things Hoops. You know, go follow him at All Things Hoops. He's out here making noise, been making rounds all summer. You know, go show him some love. He's doing some different things with a basketball coach. I think you'll definitely love him if you get a chance to follow him. Want to shout out Atia, Austin, Heaven, Sky, and Storm. Love y'all. Thanks for the support always. And thank you to everybody who continues to support and continues to listen. You know, thanks again for the continued support. It means a lot. Like, you keep me going, you know, the feedback, everything that comes back my way, I definitely appreciate it, man. So just stay tuned, stay locked in. You know, college football is here, NFL, you know, is coming back, you know, pretty soon college basketball, NBA preseason will be back. So I'm here, I'm locked, I'm loaded, and I'm ready to rock and roll. So you guys have a good one. Like I said, thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back with you guys soon. Have a good one.